Guess what decision we're about to make.
Horrible decision.
What it do? What the business is? No, Jeezy, this is some,
oh, sorry. All right, another rap song. Thank you. This is our goddamn podcast.
I feel like I am Mandy from 06. I don't know if you remember, but the songs that we're playing is when we were using our fake IDs to get into the club.
When What's the Name came on, Jeezy, like, I was so lit.
I was drinking Amaretto Sours and twerking to this.
So I do blame Versus. Oh, my bad, you guys. For no one who's ever heard this fucking show and you clicked on it because the bananas in our mouths made you think this was a podcast for you. Welcome to Horrible Decisions. I'm Weezy.
Welcome, y'all. This is your girl, Mandy V, a.k.a. Tripod Mommy, a.k.a. Full Court Pumps, a.k.a. Debt Beach. So, I gotta drop the pet to say, and I ain't gonna hold you.
Why?
I'm dropping it.
Cause you're not pegging?
I'm not pegging at all. Like, it's not even gonna ever be an option in the relationship that I'm in now. And I just, but now I also just don't like. So, my man is telling more people that he's with me, and I think it's just being brought up to him that I be pegging people, so he's just like,
Living our truth. I mean, people call me a white guy fucker, and I haven't had one in like a year.
Okay, that is true. You were fucking pink dick. You're right. They still call you a white guy fucker?
People just like, I don't know why. Maybe people that used to listen that don't listen anymore, but like, I'm forever a white guy fucker. And I'm like, damn, I've been fucking niggas for a minute. And I lost my virginity to a black man. I've only been in like 2 relationships with white guys out of 17 boyfriends. We all know I've had many boyfriends.
Okay, fine. I guess I'll still rep the pig.
I think what happened was when we started the show, I was on a white guy run.
You really was for like the first year and a half of the show.
I was doing it like I was getting paid for it.
No, you really were. Like you was getting the pink dick.
I just never saw white guys like this. Like when I moved to, as some of you know, we're from Florida. Orlando.
It's embarrassing now to just, I'm not going to lie. Like admitting that we're from Florida, it's like, oh fuck.
You know.
But you know, y'all going to get
it. We lived there when it was a blue state. And I just want to say, maybe
was it a blue state?
I voted for Obama.
Oh, I voted for Obama, so.
Same, okay. But I mean, that's when it was blue.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. When I moved to New York, it was just a different type of white boys. They had accents and shit. They looked different. They weren't racist.
That's funny.
As racist. You know, it comes out. But anyway.
Nah, even when I was getting my makeup done, they're still in year one. So they're, like, bringing up 24/7 and Lawyer Bay, and I'm just like, they've been out the picture. Like, please. Ugh.
Like, a lot.
And they're like, yeah, and Loverboy. They were bringing up Loverboy. And I was like, y'all need to keep just fast forward, please.
I forgot about Loverboy.
Fast fucking forward.
He sent me a picture of something the other day. And it was like a magnet on his fridge. I'm like, why are you sending me this? He was like, you got it for me. I was like, yo, I forgot you exist.
that's over a nigga.
Nah, we so cool. I like being at that place when you're so cool. No, I wanted to say, I do blame Jeezy and Gucci for making me sick. Here's why.
Oh, Jesus.
I get in from Mexico. By the way, I've been to Mexico City before, but never like this. Maybe because I was like always on some party shit. But since, you know, COVID's happening, stuff closes early, all I was able to do was eat and do art. I've never had better food in my life than Mexico City. Tokyo, Paris, nothing is better than Mexico City. I didn't even know they had some of the best restaurants in the world. The amount of money you spend on food for the quality of ingredients is like, dog, I was in shock. I mean, I had every fucking meal out. It was so good. Anyway, maybe that's why I threw it up. So anyway, Jeezy and Gucci happened, right? I'm so lit. I call my weed guy. He brings me this weed.
You hired your weed guy.
He dips it. It's dipped in keef. If you guys have ever heard of this, it's some weed crack shit. It's crystallized. Do you know what it is, Ben?
Well, when you grind it up, it kind of gets caught through a little like a filter, and then you can kind of save it for later, and it's like very
popular. It's like an oil.
It's more dust.
Okay, it's dust. It's dust? Weed dust.
This already sounds crackish.
No, this is crazy shit. And he's Latino. He's not even white. So, like, I felt like it was okay, but it's not okay. Bitch. I smoke weed over and over because I'm fucking taking Instagram videos at this point. Why y'all trip? I'm fucking lit. I wake up at 2:00 in the morning and I'm projectile vomiting. And if you remember, this happened to me once in the granola shit. Bro, it was crazy. I couldn't believe how far my throw up could go.
I'm
sorry.
Dead.
Is this a trigger warning for throw up? Well, here it is, bitch. The throw up went so far. It went to another room. I got up. It was crazy.
Oh, hell no.
Here's the worst part. You know when you're feeling both of it coming out at the same time?
Wait, feel both of what come out at the same time? It was coming out your ass?
Dude, the more I threw up,
oh,
the more the shit was coming out. And I was like,
did you shit yourself?
No, but yeah. Oh my
God. This is how we're starting the goddamn episode. Never Welcome, y'all. We just, you know, throw up and shit on ourselves.
Mind you, I'm buying that, and thank God I'm alone, right? But all I could tell you is this nigga's carpet is just destroyed. And how do I know how much his carpet cost? It was like $1,500 carpet, and I could see the throw up on it. And I remember throwing up in the toilet, looking at the carpet on the other in the other room. I'm like, it's gonna come out. It's gonna come out. It's gonna come out. It's gonna come out. Everyone knows how much Old Bay loves his apartment and how neat and tidy he is, and particular he is about this shit, bro. There's baking soda on it right now. It was 2 days ago. I'm freaking out.
Oh my God.
All I can tell you is it was violent illness, like bad. My stomach is amazing right now, but I had no energy, and we had a shoot yesterday. I couldn't even talk. I couldn't. It was crazy when you're like super dehydrated and everything's gone.
Sure.
I had a half a banana yesterday. I had one bite of it to start, and whoever did my makeup was Marcus. He was like, good for you. Bro,
and here I go. I was goddamn sucking down oxtail bones, like
I could smell it, I was like, okay, so I got COVID. No, I got tested for COVID yesterday, right? And today. So when I got tested yesterday, I woke up, I was like, everybody, I've got it. So just back up. I'm telling you, I have it. And I didn't want to cancel the shoot until I figured out if I had it or not. So she tests me, and I was like, go high up there. I don't care if it hurts. I really think I have COVID, and I need to know because I'm going to be around people today.
Right.
She tests me. It's a negative, and I'm like, something's wrong. You guys are getting a false negative. Go back in there. So now they're laughing at this point, and one of the dudes that was working in the tent, those horrible decisions, he's like, damn, you finna get that shit to Mandy.
I was like, I was about to say, I'm waiting. I'm actually, I booked a flight to Florida. For not only a baby shower, but just to see my family for the holidays. And I'm about to go get tested for the antibodies. Because, y'all, I tested, for those of y'all watching, and I know we made plans to get in the studio, oh God, last month. But I literally tested positive for a month straight. I was going weekly because my other podcast we do literally every Monday. And they was like, we don't care that you don't have symptoms. Like, you have to.
That's fair.
You have to do negative. And then, of course, in the middle of that, then Joe gets positive. So even though I'm still waiting on my negative, then Joe is positive. So then we really can't fucking go to the studio. And I just want anyone out there, even if you don't have symptoms, like I said, I had no symptoms the whole time. And I literally tested positive for an entire month straight. Like, I took a total of 5 tests. And it wasn't until the 5th test that I even fucking got a negative. So just go get tested. But also, it's hard because, yeah, like you said, you and Rory sound the same. Y'all are both convinced that y'all have it because you have the symptoms.
Because no one could be sick anymore and it's not COVID.
You're right. You're right.
So when I went today, right, there was a little bit of a line and I was like, how am I going to skip this line? Well, bitch, I got it. So I walked right up to the line. I was like, look, I can't be around people. I think I got the shit.
Bitch, I ain't going to hold you.
And I got tested again.
But it's like everything. Like, I was on live the other day and a bitch was trying to hold in a cough so long. I just like, I swear to God, I didn't want to cough. Because, you know,
why are you crying? I'm just feeling alive.
Bro, because I'd have had so much COVID jokes already. I'm on live and I'm like, y'all got a call coming in. And a bitch just started coughing, but I just swallowed my spit wrong.
Dude, it's bad.
But they gonna be like, oh nah, bitch, you still
but
got
you
that shit.
You cannot be regular sick. Nigga, I honestly, literally, I thought I had food poisoning. I thought I had weed. No, I have THC poisoning. It's cannabis something, y'all. Hold
Wait,
on.
you could get
it was
weed
real,
poisoning?
What I had. Yeah, CHS, weed. Hold
bitch,
on,
you
hold
done
on.
Looked it up.
Cannabinoid hypermesis syndrome. I have it. Basically, it means you've had too much weed, and that's the projectile vomit shit. And it's
what, oh well, that happened with me with an edible.
Oh yeah, mostly happens from edibles.
Oh my God, so during quarantine, this is when I was just like, I'm stuck in my house. Who gave me the goddamn weed plug? I want to say my homegirl Destiny, and I told her she killed me. But I got the weed plug, had an edible, and I was just watching TV. Nigga, blue cheese, wings, okay, and celery all on my bed. Bitch, a bitch had to throw her whole goddamn comforter away. Like, it was like a liter. Okay, can we not just... It was a liter of throw-up.
Okay, I'm going to just say, let me just tell you guys how much I threw up and I'm done. The trash can that you have in the bathroom, however many gallons it is, pass me that. I'm going to say it's a little bit smaller than this for y'all watching on YouTube. When I was finished, it was half full.
You're lying.
I'm serious. And the only reason I couldn't do the toilet is because it's the toilet. I know it's dumb, but for some reason, I'm like, oh my God, I piss and shit in here. I can't throw up in here because I'll start thinking about piss and shit. And then like, yeah. And then when I had to actually...
Why you didn't do it in the tub?
Because I had to actually shit at some point and then I needed this trash can in front of me.
Wait, you were throwing up while you were shitting?
Because my stomach, both of them was going at the same time.
Oh yeah, nah, bro.
Dude, it was so bad. But what I will tell you is... somebody listening to this will still fuck me one day. My mouth and my ass are okay now. They're cleaned out. Literally, if y'all have heard of Fleet, not the Twitter story, I'm clean. I'm cleared. I could get fucked in the ass and nothing would come out. I have eaten nothing, my nigga. Like,
I'm dead.
My ass is ready. Anyway,
not my
what
ass
a sexy
is ready.
Episode for me.
I know, this was not fucking
they're gonna be like, wow, we flew you bitches out.
I know.
This was not in the contract.
I'm excited,
Sarge.
Guys. We are finally, if you see the title, we are going to share our experience that we had at Mocha Fest for our horrible decision. But before we get there, of course, we're gonna start it off with a little bit of vanilla shit. And the vanilla shit for this week comes from Times of India. This is how much I was digging. I wasn't seeing much but COVID and sex motherfucking stories. And I was
dude,
like,
I got some good ones.
God damn. Well, send them to the email because, bitch, it took me a while to find this one. But this one I think is actually very interesting, especially with not only both of us being in relationships now, but anyone in a relationship. The title of this is that maintenance sex benefits your sex life. And maintenance sex, I was like, what the fuck is maintenance sex? Maintenance sex is actually what you need in order to keep the spice and spirit of sex alive. It is the act of definitively, I guess that's not definitive. How do you know when it's definitively and definitely?
Where are you looking?
It's the second thing.
Definitely.
Definitely, right? Oh, it's the act.
Definitively has a V.
Where the fuck is the V at?
Definitively.
Oh, you're right.
She was like, definitively.
I was trying to be like, bitch, where the V at?
Wow.
Okay, sorry.
Lehman is about to come through and be like, she didn't go to art school.
It is the act of definitely having sex even when you are bored or sluggish about it. More than many times, you may have wanted to go to the last season of your favorite Netflix show with your partner, but ultimately ended up having sex. You may have felt bored, but eventually ended up doing it. This especially happens in long-term relationships.
This is so real.
Where people do get bored with having sex, even once in a while. In moments like these, you have to just push yourself a little bit and go for the see-me sex session. Maintenance sex will surely increase your sexual desires and increase your overall stamina. The benefits of having a good old set of having good old sex are endless. Happy oxytocins released from orgasm can be euphoric. But basically, it's saying that
if you fake it, you can end up liking it. This is true. If you've ever had sex with someone that I want to preface this by saying, like, obviously consensual, but maybe you weren't in the mood, they were more in the mood, and you're like, all right, fuck it. When you start moaning and then like actually getting it, like, you'll eventually snap into it.
It's like, I agree.
I don't like getting woken up for sex, but
me neither.
Hospital Dick is definitely a morning sex person. He would like love to fuck in the morning, right? And it's like, how do you waste a like perfectly good big dick in the morning that's super hard, right? And I never wanted to fuck in the morning. But after a few pumps, I was like, okay, it's a fun ride. Like, I'll take it.
I actually did that where, because I'm having so much sex, it's just like, I do kind of like for it to be a little bit more sporadic and not planned. But like, my boyfriend was leaving, and this was a couple weeks ago. And I think I actually told you, I was not in the mood to have sex. I just didn't want to have sex. I was tired. It's not even that I was bored. I just wasn't in the mood. And he ended up like finding a way to get me into the mood. And then of course punished me because he was leaving out of town. How dare I not have sex before he goes out of town? But it's funny because the bored act of the Netflix is interesting because it's like, even when you're watching TV and say, you're not really enjoying the show, but you're not tired yet. That to me would be considered maintenance sex. You get what I mean?
I thought maintenance sex was more like, we have to do this to maintain a decent relationship.
Well, that too. I'm not going to lie. But that's, and I guess that's where my boyfriend would say it, because it's just like, I kind of want to be happy. I don't want to go out of town and not,
living together though. I've only lived with one person. And I mean, obviously like spent a lot of time with old bae, but living with someone is really when I had this a lot. because you're already around each other. Like, even when you're super in love in the beginning, if you see each other 5-6 times a week, you still don't live together. Someone's going to leave, right, or there's a moment where you'll be apart, so you have to have sex because you're excited about it.
So let me ask you, was sex boring when you lived with someone? To me, I'm not going to lie, I fear moving in with my nigga because I'm like, I like missing you. I like being able to feel like I'm going to jump on you as soon as I see you. I got to go home and see you, I don't think I'll have that same excitement.
No. You'll be excited to go home. There's a heightened sense of intimacy when you live with somebody. I think that, like, you get to reach that you never had. But okay. I don't think there's a rush to moving in together, which a lot of people do. And even I've seen myself doing that, like, oh, it's New York, save money. But, like, for what?
Right.
Like, just enjoy your relationship. No, but living together, I think it was just, I got too comfortable. And a lot of us can attest to this. Like, right. I stopped being cute, like, I didn't really dress up as much.
I just bought a whole bunch of lingerie.
But you forget to do that shit because you're home. So you're training yourself to, like, when I go home, I'm chilling. Like, what do I need to get dressed up for? Instead of, when my nigga comes over, I'm going to get ready. That's how I used to act.
Okay.
And then when it was my house and your house, it was like, well, fuck you.
I also just wanted to add, and this isn't the hors d'oeuvre, but it kind of just goes with maintenance sex and when you feel like it may get boring. Something that me and my boyfriend do a lot is we bet. We make bets on fucking everything. So we literally had a bet about the presidency, like who was going to win. He was convinced, like, just historically, presidents serve 8 terms. Like, I know this country, like, a lot of people are still going to vote for Trump. So he was like,
I thought Trump was going to. I would have taken that.
So I was like, nah, man, because I voted. So Biden going to win. And he was just like, you really think votes matter? So then we had the whole votes matter conversation. But anyway, so we made a bet and I was like, okay, well, if Biden wins, you have to dress up in a Chippendales outfit and dance to Pony by Genuine for me.
Did you buy the outfit yet?
I bought the motherfucking outfit from Amazon. And mind you, it was like a $9, like, it's literally like cufflinks, a bow tie and some drawers. Yeah. So, but I think it's fun and it's a way to spice it up, like, to include. And his bet was if Trump won, he wanted a massage with 4 hands. So I would have had to find someone.
That's actually a good one.
Yeah.
Have you ever had one?
What? A massage with?
A 4-hand massage? You can get it at a spa. It's too much.
Wait, like.
I've actually had it.
It's like. It makes you wet?
I was at like a Ritz or like some kind of spa like that. You can't concentrate on your back when someone's on your feet, dog. It's so extra. And then like.
Really?
Yes. It is not pleasurable at all.
Oh, wait. Well, he wanted it.
Maybe it's like you're gonna fuck.
Okay.
But no. Like, when I saw it, I was like, damn, it was a lot of money. But I was like, let me treat myself. Someone was on my shoulders. I just remember someone on my feet. I was like, can you guys just stay up together? And then, like, it was too much. I actually remember asking for a break.
What?
I'm telling you, it was terrible. And then, like, they have to get around each other. And then you hear the oil opening too much. It was too much.
Oh. Well, luckily, I
just made me think of something with the bet. What was I going to say? Oh, shout out to one of our listeners. We had a few weeks ago, we talked about a Jenga game that you could buy on Amazon. So this guy wrote in, basic name, whatever. His name's Jason. He says, so I went to Target the other night and I got a knockoff Jenga for $5.99. I wrote out my own sexual acts on each block. It cost me $14 total. I got dinner and the kids are gone. My wife and I are going to play tonight. I'll let you know how it goes. Thanks for the idea. I said, so dope. And then he wrote me at 9:45 this morning. So we didn't even finish the game because we ended up having sex, but we had a blast and we're going to play it again soon. Such a good date night. I love that idea.
That is I told you, that's a really, really cute idea.
I've never played it, but I saw it on Amazon and then it was, I don't know how we ended up. Oh, you maybe said it. Well, I'm going to write my shit.
Yeah.
Laughing my ass off. What was it? No, eat my ass out.
It was something with the booty hole.
I could see not finishing that Jenga.
I would not finish that Jenga, especially if every time you get one out, it's something. You would definitely have to put more vanilla shit and simple shit on it to keep
kiss
you from
cheek.
Having sex. Yeah, like, you
and
know.
The shit on the bottom is like the sex.
Give me a nose kiss or something like that. Like, you got to be some basic with it. But anyways, guys, we're going to get into this week's hors d'oeuvre. For those of you listening to us for the first time, maybe second time, maybe you're still new. Our hors d'oeuvre segment is where we give sex tips. This one is fun. It's pretty much upside down fun. I wanted to share this because this is something
Spider-Man.
That I did recently. Is it Spider-Man? Oh,
when
well, I guess
think
they did
about
that.
Upside down kissing, I think about Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. When he took the mask off. And
who was that girl? That was the first one.
She had blonde hair.
She was a brunette. I bet you $10 she was a brunette.
Bitch, I bet you $10 she was blonde hair.
Can't wait to see it.
But
Spider-Man. It was Blonde Hair, right?
When they kiss. Yeah, when they kiss upside down.
Damn,
right?
Bitch. Cash at me my Kristen fucking Dunn, money.
Actually, that is Dirty Blonde. It was just wet in the scene.
Bitch,
her hair is goddamn Dirty Blonde. Kirsten Dunst is a blonde.
Jane Kirsten Dunst, first of all. Get to know it. We're having a white guest about Kirsten, to come in here. Is it Kirsten? Yeah, it's Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten?
What fucking happened to that bitch?
Kirsten? Bitch, that was Kirsten. Anyways, we're going to talk about Upside Down Fun, and the first part of it is kissing upside down. So kissing upside down, you may ask yourself why on earth you'd bother contorting yourselves in order to kiss when you've been doing it the right way up for so many years without any problems. The answer is novelty. We spend a lot of time kissing our partners, especially at the beginning of relationships. But as time goes on, we tend to kiss less and move more quickly on to the next stage, sex.
That's true.
By making kissing seem new and approaching your partner from a different angle, you might find it more stimulating than usual.
I do it when they're like on the couch.
Oh, I will straddle my nigga, or even when we're driving.
Upside down.
If we get to a...
I'm talking about upside down.
Oh, upside down?
Not kissing. Upside down kissing.
Oh, upside down kissing. So what we do upside down is what I'm going to share. Actually, we have done upside down kissing, but after the act of upside down sucking dick. So y'all,
do you mean 69?
No, it's not 69. Upside down sucking dick. So basically what he'll do.
Pick you up?
No, he'll move my body to where I'm across the bed. My head will literally. My head will be like this, leaning off the bed. So I'm literally looking up at him, and then he'll fuck my mouth. And what happens?
I think of throat fucking when I think of that.
Yes. And so what happens then, which I guess he likes so much, which y'all know I hate gagging, but it literally causes all of the spits. So clearly I'm not doing it with the lace wig in my head, but when I had my short hair, I didn't care. And so what happens is while he's doing it, all the spit literally just runs down my face.
I just don't like when spit gets in my nose. I'm really not good with holding my nose. Like, if, bro, I've dived cliffs and I still hold my nose like a little bitch.
Oh, okay. So I'm not going to lie. If you ain't a good swimmer, this might not be for you.
I didn't say that.
I mean, I would say, I don't want people to drown while we giving sex tips.
No, you'll stay alive.
But it is going to be. And the thing is, because he's a dom, I know he loves that, bitch. I'm damn near squirming. I'll throw my hand up and hit him in the chest.
My throat
fuck.
Is so sensitive right now from throwing up.
See,
for two
yeah,
days.
I can't
even. Bro, I was gagging so much, nothing could. Like that.
Oh, that's the worst.
I can't even think about dick. And I love coming. I fucking masturbate twice a day. I don't care if I've had sex. Like, I love touching my pussy. I can't.
This is probably
the hardest episode.
And you even saying that.
Oh, you don't masturbate now that you have a boyfriend?
I don't. It's so hard.
You know what, though? It keeps me wanting dick.
Maybe because I see, like, the only time I masturbate is, like, within 3 days, I might not see him on my period. And then even then, I'm just like, okay, I can't do it on day two because, baby.
I like doing it when he's asleep.
No, I cannot. And
but
I'm just like.
I also have a turn on about, like. This is actually really fucked up to admit, but I've masturbated in so many places. I've masturbated in the bathroom once at, what was I going to say? It wasn't Gotham.
You masturbated at your job. You told
my
us that.
My job a lot, but I was recording somewhere. Was it Andrew's studio? Maybe. I had some film.
Andrew, you better go disinfect that shit.
Well, the bathroom's not in his studio. It's in the hallway. And I was like super stressed out. I was doing some work and he let me use the studio. I had to fucking jerk off to like get over it. And there was a whole filming crew in the other room. And I was like, I gotta get this out. No one knew.
Get the fuck out of here.
No one tells him or Alex.
They're definitely about to. Hey, y'all, at Andrew Schultz and say he needs to disinfect.
He needs to disinfect his
bathroom because Weezy was in there fingering her twat.
I would just like to say. That I needed to get it out. I washed my hands, obviously, before and after because COVID. And it was a nice empty bathroom.
That is so crazy. Yeah, I'm just not. It's like, I don't know.
We stayed in a room together once. What city was it? Was it Chicago where Vinny came? I had to go in the shower and masturbate.
See, and I think.
And you were on your period. Do you remember that? You were really sick.
Oh, that was definitely Chicago.
You, but I also had to come because you were annoying.
Oh my God, Chicago. I was, that's when I had COVID. So, bitch, I feel like, did I have it twice this year? Yeah, shit. I swear to God.
Niggas love doing that. I love the memes that say nobody. Black people. I definitely had COVID in December.
No, that was me, bruh.
But you know what?
I swear, it was so bad.
The first reported case was in November of 2019.
Yes.
And when I got back from Puerto Rico, the sickest I'd ever been in my life was in October. I remember the day. It was like October.
Nobody. I swear, I was. Look, you're doing it too, man.
But I was like, but nah, could that have been it? Because I had the shakes and shit.
I don't know how I made it through that Chicago live show. And for shout out to Chicago, that's definitely one of our
top
cities.
Both Chicago shows.
No, I'm talking about the most recent one.
I was talking about the one where we actually stayed together. That was 2 years ago. You were on your period, and we stayed at that hotel. It was me, you, Vinny.
Was I sick then, too?
We were saving money then, so we didn't used to get two rooms like that. And you were on your period. Remember, you couldn't come out with us or something? You were sick? And you guys went to Egg Slut in the morning?
We did. Yes, I do remember that.
Damn, what's up with you in Chicago?
Wait, was that? Yeah, that was Chicago. I don't know.
I'm ready to go back on tour, dude. I really miss, I don't know, like now, I've talked a little bit briefly about it. I'm working in TV and film and like, you know, getting to meet writers and talk about how to create jokes and stuff. Nothing is more satisfying than like improv in front of people.
Nah, that shit was fun.
It's just like,
it was funny. It's so crazy because it's something I took for granted. Because I remember saying like, man, we gonna take a year off. I don't like this touring shit. And now I would love to be back touring, traveling
again. Because it really
again,
validates what you do. And that I think is the main difference, right? It's like filming stuff and understanding that you can maybe say something funny. There's no instant gratification. And the other thing is like, it's not your people watching you. You know what I'm saying? So like, to be in a room with everybody that fucks with you, like, it's just so safe. There's like two or three shows where I fell. None of them videos going.
I'm just so glad we got to do New York, D.C. I'm so sad we didn't get to do Atlanta, even though we probably should have done Atlanta because that's the only motherfucking city. COVID don't live there, apparently.
Bro,
so
I was scared when I was watching the Jeezy and Gucci versus. I was like seeing all these niggas pass the camera and I'm like, please, Jesus, don't let nobody shut this shit down. I really need this moment.
It was a great moment.
That was so good.
I enjoyed it.
People really thought Gucci was going to win, which I found hilarious.
Yeah, I was Team Jeezy,
but,
too.
But, like, niggas in the South, maybe. But even then, like, he ain't. It's still Jeezy. Like, are you serious?
Yeah, are you serious? Right.
I was shocked. Like,
me, too. I was shocked that people.
Mad New York people on my timeline, when I'm a Dog came on, they were like,
I'm a dog. I'm a dog.
Beat her like a dog. I'm like, yes, like, fucking her.
I thought it was beat her like a dog. Like, beat that hoe.
No. I don't want to say
beat her like a dog. He didn't say beat it like a dog.
He said beat it like a dog.
Beat her like a dog.
Like, beat like fuck.
Then pass her to my dog. My nigga.
Oh, stop. Wait.
It's look up the lyrics.
I feel a little bad now. Because when it came out, I was like, I'm a dog. Oh, wait.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that, but it's a little.
I really, like.
I mean,
DJ before this shit was so good.
We were all saying, Shani, you know. Hey, that was talking about slipping Molly in bitches' drinks.
Let me see.
Yeah.
I'm a dog. I'm really looking for these lyrics.
Where the lyrics at?
Well, how could he have sang that song in 2020 if that was true?
The same way Rick Ross said he putting Molly's in bitches' drinks and they ain't know.
I'm really looking. Treat her like a dog.
Beat her like a dog.
Beat her like a
dog. Pass it to my dog.
No, I think it's a sexual innuendo. I really do. Amanda, I don't. This is not. I'm not comfortable right now.
I know you do, but technically, it's one of them things that we got to watch and be like, ugh. Like, you know all the old shows on Netflix right now? It's a little cringy to rewatch some of these.
Like what?
Like Girlfriends. I don't know if you saw the episode. One of their friends had HIV.
Season 3 only.
Well, one of their friends had HIV and they all like jumped over the counter when he was cooking and he like cut himself. Like, there's just a lot of things where I'm just like, oh, a lot of things wouldn't go off too well in this climate.
I'm actually happy and not so happy for this climate because, like, yeah, like the HIV thing, I didn't know. I mean, honestly, until we started interviewing people, right? Like,
not gonna lie, and we were ignorant to a lot of things. I think over the last 4 years, we become more understanding in ways in which we may have offended people without knowing. So
when people
we
learned to check language me about things like that, like especially, I think our herpes episode, I asked a question that was dumb. She was like, "Bitch, and you a sex educator?" I'm like, "Duh, ho, I had to learn the fuck, bitch." Like, duh. Like, I'm sorry, I didn't know.
Well, I think that that's the thing too in this space. Like, yes, and I understand this platform is definitely where it is now. But when we kind of started the show, we were learning with everyone else. Like,
I don't think
we came on here and was like, we know everything and y'all don't, so we gonna teach y'all. That's not how we did this.
But you know what? Unfortunately, and I guess I mean this in favor of us and against us. When you have a platform, people expect you to know it all.
They do.
Right? And it's like kind of how we put so much stake in these celebrities or influencers when they do something. It's like, they're fucking human too.
We be wrong.
This is also me trying to cover up all the dumb shit I've said.
Let's get into Mukbang, baby.
Y'all wanna get on us and be like,
so y'all, and again, I just want to shout out to Sarge and shout out to everyone.
What's his wife's name?
Fest. Damn.
I like her a lot.
I do. She's so fun, and I don't know her name.
I know.
But shout out to...
I clicked on her Instagram page just because I really like the way she says, "Hello, Jamaica lovers."
She's just so sweet. Anyways, guys, shout out to everyone who came to Mocha Fest. For those of you, by the way, shout out to the Whore Hive. Siggy, we saw a lot of patron people. We saw a whole crew from Charlotte. Shout out to Charlotte. Charlotte was at Mocha Fest.
There was a guy, oh my God.
And
dude,
I can't remember
you
their
really
names.
Don't know who knows you when you're out. I got drunk and I started crying. I don't know what I was crying about. But Vinny and I were fucked up. And I was like, no, like, you don't understand what I'm going through. And Vinny went to the room to get me a cigarette or something. And the guy came up to me. He was like, "Hey, man, I was at your Boston live show. I heard you." I don't know what you're going through. I was like, damn it.
No, seriously. I do want to shout out to everyone who came to Mocha Fest Cancun. That was our last live show of the year. How we had one in a pandemic, don't judge us, but we did it. It was outside. If that helps anyone, I don't know.
It does.
But it was great. We got to do a live show. We had fucking cucumbers come out. We still played games. Like, it was a fun time. I'm not going to lie. It was also the hardest live show I think we've ever had to do.
Because we can explain why.
Yeah, we'll explain. Well,
so
do you want to start
Fest
with explaining? Yeah.
An urban experience weekend. Let's go on their website. Let's do a real ad.
Okay.
So I'm going to tell you what I learned from Mocha Fest. So Mocha Fest, basically, you buy a ticket and you get access to a bunch of events, right?
Yes.
Who Mocha Fest books popular DJs,
real quick,
influencers,
real quick
everybody for.
Also, because I just hate the word urban. Let's
but
see what
I
they
thought
use.
It was in there.
No. Mocha Fest is an Afro-American and Afro-Caribbean destination festival brand that promotes freedom and self-exploration.
Oh, I read Urban Weekend somewhere, so I was wrong. Well, come on, Afro-Cuban. So, basically, Horrible Decisions is one of the acts, right? And from what I know, they haven't really done shows before. And Mandy and I, like, are very particular about only doing theaters. We're very particular about never doing a show with standing room. If
yes.
You guys have ever been at a show, we're always fucking yelling at security. I think the DC show, I was like, no!
Why are people standing up?
Oh, whoever the assistant, Jennifer, find more chairs! Because basically what happens is we will not sell a venue ever over the amount of chairs, right? Our
yes.
first live show was like that, and we would never do it again. But people will take up a table, and it'll make the people that came alone not feel like they could sit there or whatever it is. So we knew that it might happen with Mocha Fest. But what I think we weren't ready for is for how
I wasn't ready
everybody...
for everyone to be in a pool.
No, I wasn't.
Well, like, I wasn't ready. So y'all, we actually did our live show upstairs at the bar. And everyone was in a pool. So mind you, this was also, I want to say, our first live show where bitches were smoking hookah and ordering bottles of 1942.
This was Atlanta. And bitches came up to me with the classy Azul bottle talking about, come on. And I was like, oh, I can't.
And it's probably why I fucking came back with COVID. Bitch, you know
well,
what?
I actually
have a photo, and maybe I'll put it on the Horrible Decisions page. I'm like, this has to be the exact moment I caught COVID. And I want to show you because what they were doing was spraying champagne.
Oh, I did say no to that.
Into the mouth.
But only because I knew it would get on my face. And my makeup, I felt like, was really cute. A little Mexican lady named Rosa did it downstairs.
This is me saying, give me COVID.
Oh, wow. I have one of those photos,
I have
too.
It. I don't know if y'all can see it from there, but yes.
Some,
I mean,
let's talk about what Mocha Fest is, right? Yes. So they do it in a bunch of different cities. The particular one we got to do was Cancun, which was great because y'all know I'm living in Mexico. So I was like, bam, this is the airport you go through to for Tulum. So we get there and it was at a beautiful property. And I just want to preface this by saying, I said every single day to either Sarge or his wife who run Mocha Fest about how much better it was than hedonism. Let me explain. I had a fun moment, but I just wasn't ready for how, and I've used the word tacky, and I want to attribute it just to the fact that we didn't get to go on a Mocha Fest weekend.
Right.
I just felt like it was too raunchy to the point where I was like, ugh, grossed out at hedonism. And the other thing is, I didn't feel, it wasn't as luxe as the place we were at.
Y'all, she knew that there was room service available. She was like, oh yeah, 10 stars, 10 stars.
I was so happy to know there was room service. If I could leave my room without getting naked, because I hope y'all don't forget that story. The midnight snack bar was on the nude only side. And when I ordered that pizza and he said, you have to remove your clothes, I was pissed. So we get there. It was at Temptation Resort. I think they've done it there before.
Yes, I
think
it's I went last year as well.
It was there. It's really cute. They had these like stripper poles where the girls dance.
Yeah.
Now, this resort is topless. It's not a fucking resort.
Yeah. So, and I want to make that clear. So, Mocha Fest isn't necessarily lifestyle focused. So, I know we talk about sex here. If you do Mocha Fest in Jamaica, of course, they're at the adult only resorts. And hedonism is one of the resorts. But Jamaica now is so big, they actually do Mocha Fest at 7 different hotels. And of course, if you're at hedonism, you're going to have hedonism fun. This particularly, yes. We didn't see people having sex everywhere in Mexico. That's not what...
They were, though. Because I could hear it.
You could hear it where?
Through my window. Not my window, my balcony.
They was probably fucking on the balcony.
Yeah, they were.
Oh, yeah. I would fuck on a balcony.
Nigga, people were fucking so loud at one point. I was like, well, this is like a morning wake up.
So they were fucking, but they weren't fucking out in public. So out in public. I will also say, let me ask you this, too, because it was a lot more people than we experienced at Hedo, but... What were your thoughts on the crowd?
So, for one, I kept saying, I think to you, I was like, these people are so much better looking.
Yeah, it was a lot of good looking people.
Like, there were a lot of people I would have fucked. There was actually a fat dude I was going to think about fucking.
Wait, you were going to fuck a fat dude?
He was really cute. And I have never fucked a fat nigga outside of, like, football players, which don't count.
Did he have, like, a Gucci before jail gut? Or was he fat, like, big?
I don't know.
Or, like, a get money gut?
He had on a wife beater at the pool fat.
Oh, he wasn't even taking the white beater off.
But he just had mad game. Like, he kept coming up to me, like, why are you trying to play me, Weezy? I was like, I'm not trying to play you. He's like, you don't fuck with fat niggas. I was like, I ain't saying that if you got money, I would. And he was like, why you think I'm talking to you? And then he just kept coming up to me and he would get me drinks, but even though it was like all inclusive. But then at like one point, I don't know. He just, you know, when someone's so confident that you're like, your dick has got to be big?
Absolutely.
He was like, I was like, look, I got a boo. He was like, I don't care. Where the fuck he at? I was like,
ooh.
And he kept talking about how I needed to hibernate in the wintertime with him. And I was like, oh my God, stop.
Not hibernate. And not a whole bear, bitch.
He said he wanted to take me to dinner. And I'm like, nigga, I know this shit is free. And he was like, I got bread and we going to leave this fucking resort.
I was about to say, I left the resort and went to Rosa Negra.
Oh, that's right. They have in Cancun. I loved leaving the resort. I had so much fun.
Yeah, I guess that was my only thing. The food to me, I like food better in Jamaica, but I'm Jamaican, so
no,
that's probably why.
Let me say this. It's just an all-inclusive thing, dude.
Is it that?
It's an all-inclusive thing every time around. Like, when food is all-inclusive.
Bitch, we had lobster. I liked the food at Hedo when we went. They had a whole lobster night.
I had better food at Temptation.
Okay, so as far as food, it's a draw.
But I love seafood. They had, like, a seafood restaurant. Anyway, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think you gotta leave a resort to experience.
To experience the area.
Then there was a dude with braces and dreads. And I never talked to him.
Oh, my goodness.
But do you know which one I'm talking about?
No.
He was so fucking hot. And he kept smiling at me. And I just really don't know why I didn't say anything. Because I should have taken my moment. But I didn't. And then Sarge's wife and I, whose name we can't figure out. I remember saying to her at one point, because I was smacked. I was like, yo, there are niggas in here.
I'm not gonna lie. But I don't want to steer the men from going as well. There were, I'm not gonna lie though, all the good looking girls that I saw came with a nigga. But a lot of them were asking, even Medina got asked by 3 couples to join. Maybe because, so Medina from Cocktails, shout out to her, she opened our show and she decided to let everybody know that she was a unicorn. So the couples were attacking her for the rest of the weekend.
But no, I think people know when you're alone. 2 couples asked me.
Oh.
I think people know when you're like walking around alone and they knew Vinny was gay.
Oh, okay. So see, yeah.
Vinny damn near sold me to the fucking wolves. We were walking somewhere and I seen these niggas looking at me and like at this point my titties were out a little bit. So I grabbed onto his arm. He was like, girl, please. He always lets me go. We were walking around fucking Playa del Carmen together, and this guy was like, you're a lucky man. He was like, no, I'm not.
I will say, for the places next year, if you know, the travel restrictions definitely lift, this was a good time, though.
Yeah.
I had a good time. Me and my homegirls, the entertainment.
I needed it.
It's kind of like, you didn't like the entertainment?
No, I said I needed it.
Oh, yes. So me and my friends, don't know why, and this was right before our fucking live show, why I decided to sign up, I don't know. So they had Flip Cup. Now, I ain't gonna hold y'all. Y'all know Flip Cup to me is a white person college game. But I was like, oh, bitch, we got it. But my acrylic nails was so long. I was like, listen, normally I'm good at this game. I was giving my disclaimer. So we're at the pool, and it's four teams against the entertainers. Mind you, the entertainers play this all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So, of course, they're going to beat everybody, right? Wrong. Bitch, me and my friends, shout out to all my homegirls that came with me. We won. We won to where the dancers, the entertainers came up to us and was like, so no one has ever beat us. Bitch, they brought us two bottles of fucking wine and a bottle of champagne.
Oh, my God.
Because they're like, nobody has ever
won. The entertainment was good.
But they was phony. They were fun. They didn't give us the Magnum, though. They ain't bring us the Magnum. They gave us a little bullshit to bring back
the
room.
They gave you a bottle of wine, bitch.
Yeah, but we were supposed to get the Magnum. They just didn't think we was going to win.
A bottle of wine?
No, the Magnum bottle of champagne. Oh. The Moët.
The Moët.
The Moët. It was fun, though.
So wait, the girls.
Yes.
I was going to say.
Let's talk about the girls. The girls.
Some of those girls were so beautiful that I was like, they must be paid to be here.
So they do.
That's what I like, though. Mocha Fest brought some fine-ass girls.
That was dope.
I didn't, I don't know. I just thought across the board people weren't ugly, which I appreciate.
It was like, but that's the thing. And like I don't want to, and I also don't want to say like they were all like model-esque, but.
You'd fuck them.
Literally, well, I have a man, so I wasn't there to do that. But I felt like I was in like, I don't know, like a movie almost. Everyone just was beautiful.
You know, but not too, beautiful. They kept themselves up well.
Yes.
And people knew they were going somewhere, so they were excited, so they were dressed
the
well.
The men were fine. And then that's the thing. Even though it's all exclusive,
inclusive.
My bad. It's all inclusive. What I really did like, though, is you could still scout the niggas with the bag. Because what they did was they sold cabanas and bottle service. True. So you could still see the men who were still paying above the inclusive rates. So
see,
I don't
believe that because I was buying a bottle of wine every night. But at the same time,
a bottle of wine. You could get a bottle of wine for $30.
Dinner.
They was doing like Casa Azul, bitch.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't
like
that.
They had, like,
I did a good Pinot.
The pool. And also, shout out again to the fans that were from Charlotte because I think.
Who's the one bi dude?
Yes, I can't remember his name either. He was so funny.
Because I didn't know he was bi until we were both looking at this dude.
You didn't know he was bi?
Oh, let me tell you how.
You didn't know he was bi?
No, I didn't. Because we were both talking about this dude, and he was like, we were talking about the guy together, and I was like, I'd fuck him. And he was like, yeah. So let's fuck him together.
He was trying to get me to fuck
we
him and a dude too.
On.
Bro, we had to, and I can't remember his name.
It was the guy with the tattoo and it's like he made out with him and he sucked the girlfriend's titties.
Listen. If you are you and you hear this, please reach out to us. Cause even if we gotta phone him in.
I have a video of him in my phone. I'll post
bro,
it.
Bro, he was so much fun. But and that's another thing that I did like. I will say, for anyone listening to this who's a part of the LGBTQ community, it was a mix in Cancun, I felt like. You did have, like, I didn't feel like Vinny felt uncomfortable.
No.
And like I said, we met gay, not gay, they were bi guys. And the women, I think all the women were bi.
I'm laughing because.
What? I wanted to
Vinny
differentiate.
Didn't feel uncomfortable, but there was a phone party where Boosie came on, and I couldn't find Vinny anymore. I texted him, and I was like, where are you? He's like, I'm going to let you have your hood-ass moment, bitch. I don't know.
Oh, I'm not going to lie. The phone party
was lit as fuck.
Was a little
but
rich.
It was very like Daytona Beach, Black Beach weekend.
That's
but
what
I
made
wanted
me feel.
It
I loved it.
It was good.
Nah, it was
but
good.
But I liked it at dinner. Like, you know, you could class it up. There was someone having dinner. Shout out to them from Detroit. How do I know? Because they were talking that loud. These bitches came to the restaurant. It was like the one on the beach that was outside. It was like blue lights.
Okay.
I can't remember. Anyway, this girl comes in with a hookah. And somebody's like, where'd you get that? She's like, it's portable. It's from Amazon. You just look up portable shisha. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm from Detroit. And I was like, damn, this bitch is loud as fuck.
Nah, they really did. But I did like that too. They did. They had the hookah options. They had the upsell options as far as the bottles. The people were, it was a good time. They did a great job hosting. The staff was good. But also,
y'all know I love a little Mexico.
And then also just everyone involved with Mocha Fest just made sure everyone was having a good time.
They actually were very put together. And I will tell you guys this. Listen, I feel like anytime we do advertisements, I'll try to be as honest as I can, much like I was.
Oh, you was with the heat on episode, bitch.
I sure was. I'm sorry.
We ain't lying to y'all. We gonna let y'all know what it is.
I was very impressed, and I want to say this as openly as I can without being that bitch, but sometimes we all assume when events are black,
yeah,
they will not be put together. I, at not one moment, wasn't impressed at how timely things were, when it was wristbands that needed to be done.
Yeah.
Any questions, even from a booking perspective, Mandy and I have been booked for largest of venues. I won't name them, but some that can't get their shit together. Yeah. And I'm just really grateful that everybody, and not just because we were, you know, getting paid for our event, but I saw them treat everybody warmly.
Yeah.
People that were first timers, people that came back. And I really loved that communal experience. And then even Sarge was saying how they started really small and now, you know, they're Ibiza, Brazil, Greece. Like, I think that's such a big deal to bring black people together to travel, because the first thing we all do, and that's the thing that annoys me about people talking shit about Tulum a little. It's like, you can't keep your foot on a nigga's neck because you're saying black people do the same shit or don't go nowhere. And then they do travel. And then they do it.
And then you're still mad. Right. So, which is what I love more so about this, is that I think one of the problems that I had, even when I was traveling Southeast Asia, was going to places not having my own around me. And so this is kind of a group or a party that's thrown. And like you said, they're doing Thailand next year. They're doing Greece. They're doing all of these places. And now you also get to travel and be around your people,
right,
which I love. And, me too. And it's not like you're meeting people from all different parts of the country, but they have the means to travel, that are going for a good time. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry about standing out being the only black person, or you and your friends not fitting in somewhere. So if you're looking to travel again, hopefully with the things raised because of COVID, you're able to experience. If you want to see the destinations and the dates, go to mochafest.com. Mochafest.com has kind of all the details. They do also, I was talking to Sarge about this, they like to do it for the working people. So a lot of them are over holiday weekends.
That's
so
great.
Like when we were in Cancun, that's not only my birthday weekend, which yes, is a national holiday.
What is it?
Columbus Day weekend. So that Monday, everyone was off.
Colonizer weekend.
Yes, that weekend.
Bro, let's just have a conversation about the white people that were at that hotel.
Yeah, I don't think they knew what was...
They were like, well, I came for a getaway, but it's a little getaway. Bruh.
No,
it was... I saw mad white people that were like, okay.
They had one party on the main floor where they all had like glow in the dark stuff on. And I was like, oh, this isn't my party. This is the other party that's
let
there.
Let me tell y'all. So the night we got in, whether it was Thursday or Thursday. I think it was Thursday, there was a black party.
Yes.
And the resort was having a white party as far as attire. And a woman came up to me and Vinny just chatting it up. She was like, are you guys going to the black party tonight? I was like, excuse me?
You should have said, duh.
I didn't know there was a black attire party.
Oh, yeah.
But I knew I was there for a black event, Mandy. And I said, are you going to be going to the white party? And she was like, yeah.
I didn't make it to the black party, I don't believe, because that one was the only one that was off.
I could barely make it to anything because I got so drunk.
I did make it to the lingerie party though. Mm-hmm. A bitch was up there. Mm-hmm. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. I had my little dominatrix get up on, and again, shout out to Sarge. He knew it was my birthday, so he got me a whole bottle of fucking Don Julio. I came back not only with COVID, but I came back and did, I came back and did not drink liquor for the entire month. Like, I was like, I drank so much fucking tequila that I was like, I don't know how I didn't
throw. When you can feel it, it's the worst.
I was just like, okay, I need to fucking get this shit out of my pores.
I will say, if any of you are planning to go to an event like this, you know, I know that some of us want to get our lives back together, and you know, it's your own free will. I got tested before I went. I think that is the best thing that we could all do, not to be selfish.
And to get tested as soon as you get back.
You got to make sure that, you know, you're taking precaution when you're going to a place with a lot of people, because if you are asymptomatic, that's super unfair, right?
Yeah.
I mean, shit, I just got back from damn near the Mocha Fest trip, what, 2 days ago? Like, I've been in Mexico that whole time. And
yeah, bitch, don't cough.
I would tell you.
Like, bitch, don't do it.
It was so difficult to get a test in Mexico. Let me tell you guys how I got a test in Mexico. I'm in a Tulum expat group chat. And basically, there's a place called Costa Med in Mexico where you can get tested. But when I went there and I filled out the sheet, I had no symptoms and they weren't wasting a test on me. Opposed to in the States, where they'll help you, right?
Yeah, but even when my boyfriend took me to get my third test, he took me up to like White Plains and he was like, just say you have a headache. Like, there's certain places still here that won't test you unless you have symptoms, which is dumb because there's 30% of cases where people are asymptomatic.
And it's like, if it's I got so symptoms, dumb. Don't say,
it's so dumb.
So
dumb.
If I would have known that, I would have filled it out differently. But anyway, I was so pissed and I wanted to make sure that I could get tested. So I was like, can someone help me? Nigga, I was in a parking lot an hour and a half outside of Tulum. And basically, someone that worked at the spot who stole the test came to give me the test in a parking lot. And he's like, baby, it's 200. So I give him 200 pesos, which is about $10 to $11. And he was like, no, bitch.
Right.
Yo, money. 200.
200.
So here I am fucking getting this text in a Mexican parking lot. And I was like, oh my God, this shit isn't even, I was so pissed. But it's like a whole business out there.
Now it is.
Because people that like want to get tested and can't get tested, they just fucking charge the shit out of them.
There's a black market right now for 200, a negative COVID test.
Negative?
Yeah, there's like.
Did you know there's a way to fake your negative?
Oh, for $200.
I'm gonna tell you now. This is.
Well, no. Can you not share this information on this platform? Okay, we're not going to do that.
I found out about that from Reddit.
Yeah, we're not.
So
yeah.
I basically was trying to look up for myself. I'm not going to tell how. But I was looking up like, because I was feeling, you know, throwing up or whatever. And I was like, yo, this shit can't be real. So I was looking up like batches. Could it be the Q-tips? Like, how do people get negative tests? And they were reading off ways. And these are like health professionals that people have been faking negatives.
Awful. I don't even.
Can you imagine?
No. Trash.
You just trash. Like know that you have some shit that could kill people.
If you're going to go to Mocha Fest, please make sure you get a real test and make sure that you're not a spreader. But again, go to MochaFest.com. They are selling rooms now. Jamaica's one of their biggest. That's Memorial Day weekend. And also for the ladies who may not be able to, you know, afford, but you are a turn up queen. I want you to know that there is a Mocha Fest girls contest. So submit your full body image and bio along with IG profile. To girls@mochafest.com. Online voting doesn't start till January. You also need to submit a video by December 15th. Top 10 vote getters will be flown to Miami in February, where again, you pretty much get to wear Mocha Fest attire and party. You get your flight covered, you get your hotel covered, and the winner gets $2,500.
And dick, maybe.
And dick. But also, I'm going to be hosting the, not hosting, I get to judge the contest. So that's in Miami, February 19th. But submit now. That is, let me give y'all that email one more time, girls@mochafest.com. So if you want to be a Mocha Fest girl, and pretty much they just need you to turn up, pour liquor in people's mouths, and get the party started. That is it. So go ahead and submit that as well. And now we're going to go ahead and get to our motherfucking whole mail before we get out of here.
So our whole mail is basically mail from our host. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much. But this one, I don't know if we can call her a hoe because this is from a virgin.
This shit really made me upset.
This is... Okay, save it.
It was kind of dark.
It is a little dark, but it's I want to talk about it. Hello, Mandy and Weezy. I am a 22-year-old virgin girl from Detroit. And I am ready. No, I'm not waiting for marriage. No, I don't have any insecurities. Just a poor black girl who was raised on the double standard that girls have to wait for the quote unquote right man while boys are free to experience during adolescence. 2019 was my first year of officially dating. And this year, I almost lost my virginity twice. But both guys ghosted me in the process and I never heard from them again. Now I'm officially sick and motherfucking tired of being a virgin, and I want to find the best, richest candidate possible. I recently got my dance card and was trying to find a potential seller in the strip club, but these underground rappers annoy the shit out of me. And I'm really trying to speed up the process of finding someone. I've tried escorting / dating websites, but everything online seems so fake and dangerous. And truly, I'm tired of waiting. I haven't told anybody this because I feel like literally nobody can relate, because everyone is and has been sexually active. But I get suicidal thoughts daily, all because I feel like my parents failed me and that I was set up to be a failed, awkward social experiment to society. If you guys know any verified sex agencies that help girls sell their virginity, or any real sex workers who can help me find someone to sell my virginity to, I would highly appreciate that. I started your podcast from the beginning, and I really thank you girls for giving me the talk that my parents never thought would be beneficial to have as a teenager. Love, a gray unicorn.
That shit made me feel so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of feelings, which I don't even
know. I think it's our responsibility to talk to this too, though. Like, absolutely.
So I looked up places to sell your virginity.
Okay.
Not to be helpful, but just because I wanted to see what it would look like. One is called the Boast Club, and there's like an auction where you can date virgins, right? Because you obviously can't sell pussy online. But there's like a lot of young girls who are recruited to sell their virginity. I have a lot of feelings about this because I feel like this is more sadistic for men. Like,
right.
I don't know. There's something of the innocence in it that's a little scary for me. I feel like maybe a sugar daddy would be more fun because, like, I don't know. There's a sugar daddy, sugar baby relationship where, right, I feel like they enjoy the innocence because they like teaching and helping. It's their ego, but it could be a better and safer relationship because there's something a little more committed there. But I think the larger issue is, you know, when you mentioned suicidal thoughts and your parents and like trying to like hurry up this process, I think the issue is like you think you may feel whole once it happens, or like that's the, right, thing that can happen.
That's where I was going to go.
That will make it worth it, right? Is like, fine, like if I can't find someone worthy of like giving it to, at least someone can buy it from me. But that part is like terrifying in
itself.
And
it's going to be a mind fuck for you. I think that outside of looking for a website or a way to sell your virginity, you need to be looking for a way to get therapy. Her, yeah, bringing up her parents and saying that she got the sex talk from us that she wishes she would have got from them.
I just think that there's a lot of none of these. Someone like me to teach my kids.
I know.
Oh,
I know. I ain't gonna hold you. I just feel like there's a level of insecurity or self-love that she's lacking.
Yeah.
And selling away your virginity or putting a price isn't going to make you feel more valuable about yourself.
I do have one little thing I want to help with. This is you're going to think this is ridiculous, but if you guys listen to Patreon, you heard that I've been like looking into brujas and mediums and psychics and just stuff that's like for light, right? Like, really, I believe if you don't believe in spells or not, it's just manifestation. There's a love spell you can do on yourself. If you Google it, there's a bunch of shit on Reddit. I'm sure you can find someone. But like, instead of putting it on someone else or making, let's just say someone love you, you can put it on yourself. And it's like a white candle. I think you need honey, cinnamon. You got to look it up. But there's ways to start drawing the love back to you. And I think that if you feel more fulfilled, you're not going to really feel these suicidal thoughts.
And you're,
right,
also not going to feel the need to validate anything by a man coming in and fucking you.
Yeah. Like, I mean, now sex work is one thing, but I think it's just a particular way you wrote about it. Normally when we get emails, people are more like, I want to be a hoe for fun.
Yeah.
And you didn't make me feel fun.
No, not at all. It was a little deep, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Not gonna hold you. Anyways, oh, Jesus. Well, I hope that you find a way to get through this process. Whether it be through therapy or talking to someone who actually values you as well.
Or find some sex worker mentors that will talk, absolutely, you through this, because I think a lot of sex workers have all had a place in life where it was like a dark point, and some enjoy their work, some don't. I think SX Noir talked about circumstance or choice.
Yeah.
And I don't, you're making it sound like it's.
And if you're listening to this, her Patreon has a lot of stuff, but Raquel Savage, she, has a degree in psychology, but she does really break down a lot of just the ways at which people find shame in sex work, but ways in which to be feel liberated from it as well, which she does. She loves what she does. So I think that if you're going to go
down
the
path. Sessions on the phone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think she does a lot of options.
She's good. I could see that.
And
great.
I think that you need to find a way to make this liberating for you and not a chore just to get out the way.
Jet-setting Jasmine Benson wanted us to mention as well. Does she do sessions?
She's a licensed mental health professional.
But she's also in the sex industry. Yeah. So I think there's definitely a lot of people to reach out to. I hope we were able to help you. By the way, guys, if there's any more left, make sure y'all check out the whorehive.com. That's whorehive.com. We got merch, baby.
We do.
We got merch, y'all. So be sure to check that out. I know it took us 4 years to get it, but there may still be some on there.
This mask, I don't know if this is going to help sell it or not, but this is so comfy and breathable.
Yeah, no, the quality is good with all of our merch. It has our tags on it. It's really dope.
And for Patreon peeps, by the way, I want you guys to know we are never, ever going to sell that design because we know that it's special to our Patreon folks. And I believe Mandy and I at some point will start coming up with new shit.
Yeah.
So you guys will not feel left out. Don't worry. But no, I mean, what you have done, you know, for us with able to, you know, step up our game with touring and video and all of that stuff, like, we consider your merch super important as well. And that's why we really prided ourselves on, you know, making sure that it was exclusive for a long time because we felt like it was something you got to earn. So that's why it'll always be different.
Absolutely. And y'all, I want y'all to make sure y'all go ahead and check out mochafest.com once again. Thank y'all for tuning in. We're going to leave you guys with a 5-minute bonus clip from our Patreon. Of course, that is patreon.com/horrible decisions. There you can get 3 bonus episodes. Okay. You can get 3 bonus episodes every month and more bonus content. There's just bonus content there. There's a fucking archive of over 80 episodes now. So if you guys go to patreon.com, you do have to type in patreon.com/horrible decisions because it's 18+. But go ahead, check us out there. We are going to leave you guys with a 5-minute bonus clip. And thank y'all for tuning in to yet another episode of Horrible Decisions.
Bye. Peace. The HoFax. So this one I thought was just a weird ass article that I loved, and I'm into reading weird articles for fact's sake. So like whenever I see something that could be for horrible, I'm like, ugh. This is in the New York Post, and this is the weirdest penis stories in the animal kingdom. So the history of the penis goes back to at least 425 million years. Okay. It's actually the first known fossil, which is crazy because I thought it was like dinosaur shit. But it's a crustacean.
Wait, it's a what?
The first known fossil on record, at least, was a 5-millimeter long crab-like crustacean that had a large stout organ. And the organ was their penis. So even in the first fossil known to man, it was showing a penis. So there's just a lot of stuff out there about the penis, but we don't really know much about animal dicks. Not that you guys care, but we're going to tell you. So here we go. For one, here's some different shit about animal dicks. The Japanese yellow swallowtail butterfly has photoreceptors on their penis. In other words, the eyes helps them guide through the night. So it looks like a little...
What the fuck?
Okay, wait. Forget romance. Some creatures blindly stab their mate with their penis like bad fencers in attempt to inject sperm. Sea slugs will often nail their chosen one in the foot or even in the forehead with it. It's an oddly effective way to actually make babies because the female body is surprisingly a benign environment for sperm. In fact, research has shown that injecting sperm into the body cavities of pigs, chicken, cattle, is just as good as putting it in the usual place. So animals can literally take cum anywhere and they'll get pregnant. Isn't that crazy?
Get the fuck out of here.
Pigs, cattle, chickens. So here's about the biggest penis.
Is that it? Just those three?
No.
Like they can literally get cum in their eye and create offspring?
It just says body cavities. So I don't know particularly where, but they just tried it in those three. It could be more. But this one is crazy. The blue whale, the biggest animal penis with an average length of 8 feet long.
Just no. I'll pass. I'll pass. Like I'm thinking of the 7-foot nigga I used to fuck and adding another foot to him. Just no. What the hell? Nigga. But wait, how? Okay.
How big is the blue whale?
An 8-foot penis. But yeah, how? Go ahead. You the Googler fact person. How big can a blue whale be?
All right, if blue whale length. Hold on.
Yeah, like how long can they be if your dick is 8 foot? Okay, so one you tenth take of 10 your inches, body. That's, yeah, I would say that's about right. That's about right. I ain't gonna real quick do. I'm not doing the fractions and math right now.
But maybe they have more room for it to go. Right, and the women are 3 feet longer. They're 3 feet longer on average than the male.
So that's what I'm saying. Maybe the woman has a 10-foot vagina hole.
Oh, it says that some of them could be 100 feet.
See, yeah. Okay. An 8-foot dick makes sense for a 100-foot person.
Because you ain't going to feel the 3-foot one, right? You're going to be like, this shit trash.
Right. You're going to want the 8-foot one.
This like a little tic-tac. I mean, wait, not tic-tac. I'm sorry. Okay. Y'all. We have talked a lot about laws and crimes around the world, and I found some new ones because I love doing these. I think they're always fun. So recently on an episode, we had a vanilla shit where we talked about the weirdest like U.S. laws for like sex and shit. But here's some weird ones around the world. So Nepal, no porn is allowed. Films that even depict sexual intercourse or full frontal nudity are banned. Even Bollywood. The government.
Wait, what?
Yep. No nudity in movies, anything. The Home Ministry in Nepal said that it had to enforce the ban because young people are addicted to porn, which, to be honest with you, I kind of agree with.
Because
I'm addicted.
We know. Are you? But you're addicted to masturbating. You're not addicted to porn.
That's true, because I don't need anything.